Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Yeah, my name is Rachel. I've been a member of All Saints for many years, since 2010. And I am a member of the staff team as well. I work here for many years. I'm excited to be here to share with you what God has put on my heart. I've been following the Lord. I've been a believer for many years as well, since my secondary school years. That's when I got to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And my life has been changed ever since. I've been growing more and more and learning more and more and realizing I didn't really know what I was doing when I got to know him, more and more as I go through life. Yeah, so I just feel like, I should say a prayer as well so that as we get into it, let us pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, just come and have your way right now. Thank you for the message you've placed on my heart. I pray that as I speak, that your word will go out and that you will encourage us, that we'll not leave this building the same way we have walked in. Come and have your way, Lord. Thank you that you are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I was born and raised in Uganda, East Africa. one beautiful thing about Uganda, I think it was Winston Churchill, referred to it as the Pearl of Africa. Because it's a beautiful part of Africa. It's got red soil and a lot of green and water. And there's a big lake there, Lake Victoria. And out of Lake Victoria, there's a river that flows into Lake Victoria. But this river, River Nile, which I'm sure many of you know about, flows all the way through, I think, 5 or 6 countries, all the way into, and it ends in Egypt, into the sea. And that's one wonder that amazes me about this river, that it flows up, it flows north. It's the only river that flows from the north, from the south to the north. And so we are going to look at, a fountain, which is nothing compared to the River Nile, but the fountain that we shall dwell in our reading. So it's Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, on page 957. And I think Jesse will put it up on the screen as well. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of the impurity from the land. That's our reading. And there is a correlation from last week's passage in Zechariah 12 to this week's one. There's that expression, on that day, I. And this phrase, on that day, I, is repeated 16 times in Zechariah chapter 12 to chapter 14. On that day, I, Zechariah is prophesying, the Lord saying, on that day. A reminder of that coming day, the day when the Lord will establish his kingdom, a universal kingdom, when all nations will worship him, when he will bring an end to all powers of evil, all powers of darkness, when those who belong to him will be fully rescued from the power of sin and darkness, that day. And this phrase again emphasizes that God reigns over everything. God reigns over everything. He is his sovereign rule and rightful reign continues throughout history, and its climax will be when Jesus Christ returns. All kingdoms come and go, but the kingdom of God shall reign forever. And God is in charge. So the people of Israel were called, he called them as his people, and yet they were enticed by false gods, and the nation of Israel suffered God's discipline, which was administered by conquering nations. As the Bible tells us, that Israel was taken into exile. First, the 10 tribes in the north were captured by the Assyrians, and then the southern tribes were taken by the Babylonians. And for 70 years, the nation of Israel was living in a foreign land. And then we read in Ezra chapter 1 that God orchestrated the return to Jerusalem. He used a foreign king to declare these Israelites to start returning back and rebuild the temple of God. So knowing that God is in charge, that he is sovereign, this just gives us hope. So through the prophets, the Israelites were taken into exile for 70 years. And through a foreign king, the Israelites started to return. And this was God making all this happen. So knowing that God is in charge, that he is sovereign, it just gives us hope in the world that we live in. So when we see that the world appears chaotic, that everything appears misguided, we know that God is in charge. When evil seems like it's on the increase, we know that God is sovereign and nothing happens that he's not aware of. It just gives us hope when we witness the decisions being made by different world leaders. We know that behind all that, God is orchestrating what is going to happen in the end. So diving into today's passage in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. Zechariah was speaking at the time when the Israelites had returned from exile. So when they had come out from the 7 years and they had returned and they were building God's temple. And much as they were participating in building the temple, even though they kept failing at what they were meant to do, Zechariah was then calling the people to inward spiritual transformation. In verse 1, he says, a fountain shall be opened for sin and for uncleanness. And we see here that God cares about the holiness of his people, and he will refine his people. This fountain is not like the River Nile that I loved so much, the River Nile that eventually ends at the end of Egypt. This fountain has no end. This cleansing fountain began to flow when Jesus died on the cross. And this fountain is not just available to those that choose him, but it's available to the world. Anyone who looks to Jesus for salvation is cleansed from the burden of their sin. Anyone who looks to Jesus is cleansed from the burden of their sin. And this cleansing, while it's available, while it's offered for all of us, it's received personally. And this fountain that Zechariah is talking about, whether we are aware of it or not, it's flowing. Whether we know about it, whether we accept it, whether we believe it, this fountain is flowing. And it's up to you and me, it's up to us to step in and be washed, to step in. It's whether it's up to us to let go of what this world offers and choose to step into the fountain that is being offered today. I was having a conversation with a parent from my daughter's school. He actually found me listening to Jilly's talk as I was going to pick up my daughter from after school club. And I always try and avoid these parents because they I'm not really good at small talk. So when I saw him coming, at first I walked really quickly so that he won't catch up with me. But I think God wanted this man to talk to me. So while I was waiting at the gate for the children to come out, because I was listening, I had my headphones on. He comes and knocks, touches me and asks me, "What are you listening to?" He's not a Christian. So I tell him, "Oh, I'm listening to a talk." And then he says, "What's the talk about?" So I smile to myself and I feel like, yeah, God is saying, you have to tell him. So I tell him, I'm actually listening to a friend, it's not just a talk, a friend is preaching. And then he says, "What are they preaching about?" So I had to tell him what Julie was preaching about Jesus on the cross. And so that then led to a conversation. But then it turns out he doesn't step into the fountain because he's saying that is you, that is what you believe, and that's good for you, that's good for your friend. I hope you give your friend good reviews, what they're talking about. But this is where I choose to stay. And I'm just, praying for him that he will, that conversation I had, talking about Jesus on the cross, that is a seed planted, and that he will personally receive what Jesus is offering. Because this fountain is also available for him. So whether the person believes it or accepts it, the invitation is available for them. And this is the same cleansing fountain that John the Baptist prophesied about when he preached in the wilderness in the book of Matthew. When he preached about repentance, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And many people responded and came and they were baptized, confessing their sins. So even as right now, this same invitation is available for us. As I've mentioned, listening to what Julie was preaching last week, inviting us to look to the cross, to look to the Messiah, to look at his wounds. It's an invitation that doesn't leave you the same when you encounter. When you come to the cross, you don't live the same way you have come. This refining encounter brings up how sinful we are and how we are in need of cleansing. This encounter causes us to confess our sin, causes us to repent, causes us to go and be baptized and be washed and be cleansed in this fountain. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 8, that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth of God is not in us. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, as humans, sin corrupts our thoughts, our motives are corrupted, our actions are corrupted because of sin. And so encountering this fountain that Zechariah is telling us about, it leads us to repentance. We are not left the same. And just a brief chat about repentance. True repentance. True repentance involves three essential responses. And they're all generated by the Holy Spirit. I'll quickly go through these responses that repentance brings. First of all, repentance includes conviction of sin. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So repentance includes conviction of sin. And it's not us convicting us, it's the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. When we will not turn to God until we recognize sin's damage and the way our sin offends God's righteous character and standards. Secondly, repentance brings godly sorrow over sin. Repentance brings godly sorrow over sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, we are told that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets, but worldly sorrow brings death. Again, it's the Holy Spirit causing us to have this godly sorrow over our sin. And finally, a repentant sinner experiences conversion, experiences a deliberate turning away from their sin to obey God. Yeah, we are told in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, that no one who lives in him carries on sinning, because he empowers us to overcome sin. God's grace leads sinners to repent and receive the gift of salvation in Christ. A growing believer has received Christ's salvation from sin's penalty, but continues to repent from specific sin in response to the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work. So it's the Holy Spirit at work in us, convicting us, causing us to repent and let go of the things that pull us away from him. So it's never about us. It's never about you and me. It's not about us identifying those things that are causing us to fall, counting them, remembering them. It's not about us. We can never accomplish this. We are never able to save ourselves. However much we try, we shall keep on failing. It's only God who saves us, and God saves us to demonstrate how powerful he is. Because when we look at our lives, we cannot save ourselves. Only he can save us. He who began a good work in you is able to bring it to completion. And so to fail to acknowledge this cleansing fountain and to fail to repent from sin means that we choose to carry sin's weight on ourselves rather than receiving deliverance from it and walking in freedom. Only he can save you and me. Only he can deliver us. Only he can deliver us from that sin that is deep within. Yeah, and so moving on to verse 2 of our passage. It shall be on that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. So we see here that the focus now turns to the land. And also, again, another reminder that it is God doing the cleansing. It is God in charge. Firstly, the fountain in verse 1, but now he's cleansing the land, cutting off the names of the idols and ridding the land of unclean spirits. In the time we are living in, we can easily get alarmed at how much idolatry is all around us. It's quite easy to get overwhelmed by what you see, by the brokenness of our world, by what is thrown at us on social media, by what is thrown at us that we can easily access on the internet. Only God can cleanse our land. Having lived in exile for many years, the people of Israel could have familiarized themselves with the idols from the foreign land and given into their worship. And that's why God was sending prophets to remind them to turn away from these foreign gods. And it's similar to us as well, familiarizing ourselves with what is unclean. What our children are exposed to as well, what is unclean, can easily get overwhelmed by it. And also what is being pushed at us, the ideologies of idolizing yourself, of making yourself king, of looking after yourself, putting yourself above everything else. But this passage is a reminder that God will cleanse the land of all idolatry. He'll cleanse the land of all the false messages that lead people astray. And it is Him that does the cleansing. And so this should really energize us to pray for our land, to pray for our land with hope, to pray for our land with reassurance that it is only God that does the cleansing. And so we shouldn't give up when we see as though evil is getting more and more. We know that God is sovereign and He knows how everything will end. And so we should have hope and pray to Him who is sovereign. And as I end, just verse 2 says, He will cut off the names of the idols and they shall never be remembered. The names of the idols, they shall never be remembered. Because there's only one name that stands above it all. There's only one name, the name of Jesus. Where every knee, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is God. All the other names shall fade away. All the other names shall never be remembered. And so whatever it is that you could be looking to, that you could be holding on to, instead of the name of Jesus, God says that He will cut it off and it will never be remembered. Whatever it is that you feel is pressing you down and you can't escape from it, we are being reminded that God will cut it off and it will never be remembered. And so may this cleansing fountain that we have looked at today convict us and remove all the idols, remove anything that stands in the way between us and Him, receiving Him. And may we cling to that name that shall never be forgotten. All other names shall never be remembered, as the Bible tells us in our reading today. And as I finish, just want to remind us that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Whatever we are facing, whatever we are dealing with, whatever is on our hearts that we feel we cannot get out of, if we call upon the name of the Lord, as we've been reminded, we shall be saved and we shall be delivered. Amen.